Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Mac Show. I'm Jeff Gammon. I'm your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin. And as you can tell by my makeup today, happy Halloween. That's right. I'm actually Ewan Rankin wearing makeup as Jeff Gammon. Oi, mate. Bugger off. See?
Wanker.
See? Wanker. Anyhow. Yeah, happy Halloween, everyone, and super happy to be here because it's Friday, and I can tell it's Friday because we're all together, and the sun is barely up where I am, so, yeah, but totally worth getting up early to be with all of you. So, to turn it into an awkward segue, man, I just woke up, and what's the first face I see? Chuck, how are you?
I'm good, Jeff. I am described, excuse me, I am disguised or costumed as a work from home insurance guy.
Wow. You did that really well.
That costume is so accurate, it's creepy.
Yes.
It took me something like 25, 30 years to make this. So, yeah.
Okay. So, that's dedication.
Yeah, and instead of spending all that time, all you really needed to do was run down to Spirit Halloween, and you could pick up the costume for $23.95.
Yeah, but I'm into authenticity, Jeff. You know, so.
All right, that's fair.
Yeah,
that's fair. Yeah. Hey, speaking of authenticity, Marty, how's it going?
This is my costume. Guess who I am?
Chucky.
Yeah, Marty, you're playing as Chuck Joyner.
No. I'm naked from the waist down.
Oh, you're going as Jeff Gammon.
Yeah. Okay, it makes sense.
But the T-shirt needs to be black, Marty. You know, that's the only thing.
You know, I have the same color T-shirt. It's but mine's a short sleeve. Hmm. It's in the drawer. I would go get it, but standing up and walking away would probably change the demographic for us like dramatically, or not. I don't know.
Yeah. Plus your tramp stamp too.
Right, and really, okay. There is a small subset of people that do want to see the tramp stamp of Chuck's face.
Yeah.
I don't even want to know where you're going to put it.
Oh, well, man.
There's only
there
one
so
place
many...
a tramp stamp goes.
That's where
there
I was,
are
yeah, that's,
so
that's
many
what I was
stories.
Afraid of. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. So walk into the tattoo parlor in San Francisco, and they're like, oh, what kind of tattoo do you want and where do you want it? And I just dropped my pants. And they went, oh. We know exactly what you need.
Yeah, you point to the design up on the wall and you say, I want Chuck.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Which you can pretty much find in every tattoo parlor in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
It's true. Yeah. I mean, I would show you, but, you know, demographics.
Only Jeff's.
Let's get on with Jeff's. The show. Let's get on with the show.
Pay for it.
Yes.
Anyhow, the small sliver of class. Patrice, how are you?
Yeah. I don't know about that. I'm doing well. Happy Halloween, everybody. I seem to be the only one who is in here celebrating that, but I am. Like, I love Halloween. Actually, tomorrow is Dia de los Muertos, and I have a party coming up, so I'm very excited about that. Yeah, that's it. Week is over. Yay. Yay. Work week is over.
Fun work for me starts tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's been going on all week, but tomorrow's our show. Patrice, I did used to show up for the show on Halloween with my horns. And,
yeah. But and now you just wear them every day. No,
and I just wear them every day. They, I thought they were plastic, but apparently they were plastic coated, and the inside was some sort of foam thing that mm-hmm. over the years started disintegrating, and my horns kind of crumbled apart.
Too bad.
But I have a happy, fun story to go along with the horns. First time I got them, put them on for Halloween, went over to do some Halloween stuff with my nieces, and the oldest was 5 at the time. And she runs up, Uncle Jeffy, Uncle Jeffy, and jumps up in my arms, and I'm just kind of holding her up and have the horns on, and she just kind of reaches up and runs her finger down one of the horns and goes, "What happened?" And I said, "Oh, I woke up this morning and I had horns." And this is a testament to how wonderful children are, because she goes, yes. "Oh, okay."
Yeah,
and she just typical. Assumed that her Uncle Jeffy had horns now.
That's these, something that happens.
These green horns sticking out his forehead, and that was just a thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's how kids are. They're like, "Oh, okay."
And so we're chatting, and then she reaches up and kind of grabs one and lifts it a little bit, and then she goes, "Oh!" Does a little head smack. They're fake. But she was totally willing to accept that I had grown horns overnight, and that's just who I was now.
I mean, to be fair, you could have.
I could have. Yeah. Anyhow. Yeah. So I guess after today, maybe I'll be able to find a good deal on discount horns.
I mean, probably, yes.
Yeah.
Like, that's usually what I do. Like, after Halloween, I go to, like, all the stores, and usually they're selling off all the stuff that they haven't sold for, like, 30, 40, 50% off, and I'm like, hey, great. Stuff for next year. Mm-hmm. I buy it, and I throw it in a box, and put it in storage, and then next year I have more.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's the way to do it.
Yes. This is the way.
That's how we got Chuck. Found him after the holidays, bought him on discount. We put him in a box till the next year, brought him out, and
there he is.
And he still scared little children.
Chuck, I pick on you like this only because I love you.
I that's what's deeply disturbing, Jeff, because if you didn't love me, then my God, what would it be like?
Yeah, it'd be rough. You don't want to know.
Yeah, you're right. I don't want to know.
Yeah. So, well, we should do some Apple news stuff while we're here. I believe we're going to start with, I believe. No, I know, because I have the freaking articles.
You got the power.
Yeah, Chuck, you were worried before. Be really worried now.
I've got the power.
Yeah. So it turns out Apple did an earnings report yesterday, fourth quarter 2025. And
let me summarize it.
Please.
Apple made all the money. They sold all the phones. And the next quarter is going to be even bigger.
And thanks for joining us for this week's show. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Okay. See, I didn't even listen to it, and I know that.
Yeah, I was making birds, or more accurately, borbs. While all this was going down, so I missed it.
Making borbs. Is that a euphemism for something?
Surprisingly, no. But you know what? As long as we're here, there's a great article. Here it is. What's the difference between a borb and a floof?
Floof.
So, drop that into the live chat right now.
The really important questions we need to answer.
That's right. So a borb, it's a bird, but it's gotta be a little chonker boy. And but they can also be like cute. And, well, they're obviously cute. So basically, it's a fat little bird. And actually, you know, hold on.
I should have that little bird is funny.
There we go. This is an original from Angela Bowman.
Oh, and, wow. That's worth at least a couple million.
Oh, I have no doubt. And it just lives right here beside me. So anyhow, cute little birds.
Other than the oh, no, never mind. No, it's just ahead, Chuck. Chuck. No. I'm trying to learn to restraint. Yeah. So.
Well, it's a little late for that.
Exactly.
Well, it probably is, but yeah.
Mr. Home office insurance costume guy.
Yes. Oh yes.
Yeah.
So, was there anything other important about the earnings call other than that? Did they say anything interesting?
I've got a bunch of stats if you're interested.
Sure.
You know, I was going to do stats, but Marty, do stats.
Yeah, but dancing.
Okay. No.
Dancing stats. No.
Yeah, I'll do it as performance art.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'll take
care for it.
Patrice, don't forget, he's dressed as Jeff Gamut for Christmas. You don't want the dancing thing.
Okay,
fair point. For Christmas, right. I add the mistletoe. For Halloween. And Halloween, guess where that Halloween. Goes.
Yeah, I've got it. Sorry.
102.5 billion, up 8% year over year.
Wow.
Service businesses achieved an all-time revenue high, so services... this quarter was good. Board declared a 26 cent per share cash dividend.
Yay.
Payable on November 13th, 2025. iPads were flat in terms of sales. Mac revenue rose.
Yeah.
Mac revenue rose 13% year over year. And wearables modestly grew. So that's of all interest. Europe and the rest of Asia Pacific saw strong growth, 15% and 14% year over year, respectively. Greater China declined by 3.6%. And the predictions for the next quarter, quarter one of 2026, and they talked about this in a lot of the articles, was... there's going to be a growth of 10 to 12% year over year.
Jesus.
For next quarter.
Holy crap.
That's exceeding the analyst expectations that were around 6%.
And the Christmas quarter is already their biggest record breaking. I think, I don't know how many years in a row they've broken their record and they keep going doing it.
Yeah.
That's wow. Okay. Yeah, the iPad is not a surprise. I mean, like, think about it. There was no new iPads last quarter. There's basically nothing new on the iPad front for a while. So it's like, yeah. We got one this quarter, so.
So can we go back to Borbs and Floofs?
Yes. unless, sure. Yeah, unless. I mean, the analyst questions are always interesting, but usually Apple doesn't say much.
So the thing that I found, first of all, this is the first time in a long time that I have not listened to an earnings call, nor have I had a chance to listen to it up to this show.
Yeah, the podcast isn't even out yet. That was the interesting thing. They have the podcast where they usually publish it. It's not there yet.
Oh, I didn't even know because I haven't had a chance to look, Patrice. So thank you for that.
Yeah, I was looking for it. So.
What I thought was especially interesting for sort of the drive-by Apple Watcher is just the different titles that the news outlets utilized. Some you know, glowing, oh my God, some were like, okay. You know, it and some focused on, according to the one that I remember seeing, that Apple dodged questions. Big
they
surprise,
always do.
You know. I know. Well, that's because the stupid analysts keep asking questions.
Yeah.
They know that Tim nor anybody on the call is going to ask.
Yeah.
But it's almost like a badge of honor that I'm going to show how stupid I am.
Yeah. There's always one guy. There's always one guy that has to ask a stupid question, fully knowing that Tim will say, you know, we don't talk about future products. There's sometimes good other questions, like, and it's really interesting sometimes to see what other analysts ask, like, what are they interested in? What are the focus areas? But there's always at least one guy where it's like, ah, oh, really? You know they're not going to answer.
Exactly. And it's a completely, it's a waste of their time. It's a waste of the analyst's time in question. It's a waste of the call time. And yet they still do it. Yeah. And then some, a news outlet, and I cannot say this with complete innocence, I don't remember which one, you know, points out, oh, Apple dodged a question. Of course they dodged a question.
Yeah.
You know? It...
And I mean, they also dodge political questions, which, I mean, I would say it didn't used to be a thing that earnings calls were concerned with usually. But like in recent times, Apple had to answer political questions sometimes. And of course they're going to dodge that because Apple doesn't want to play that game.
No, nor should they. But nor should they.
Yeah. So you know,
it's their, it's their earnings call.
Yeah.
So they can kind of set the rules.
Yeah. And I mean, if it was, if Apple was a different company where like people are not so well prepared and trained and whatever, okay, asking a stupid question in the hopes that someone messes up and says something they shouldn't have would have been worth it. But this is Apple. And Tim Cook, I mean, does not say anything. And they're all like, no matter who you talk to on the C-level, they're all very well trained. They will not say anything publicly, at least, that about future and what they're doing. I think the furthest Tim ever went was, oh, what was it? Augmented reality is an area of interest. That was, I think, the furthest he ever went talking about something in the future.
Right, but that wasn't even a slip up.
No, that was deliberate.
It was very deliberate. Yeah. I do find it interesting when the analysts ask the right question, which they may not know until the answer happens that it was the right question, because there's the stuff that we know Apple's going to talk about. Then there's the stuff that if they get the right question, they will tell you. And then there's the stuff that they're just not going to talk about. And so when you get someone that hits on that question where you get the reveal about the thing that they're ready to tell you, but only if you ask, that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, and for sure.
So based on what I've seen from the little bit that I've read today, I don't think anyone hit them with one of those kind of questions.
Yeah. No, I mean, there's a reason why questions are allowed. And there's a purpose to that, right? And there is things that Apple will talk about. Like, you know, they have to prepare remarks and whatever. That's like the official part. And then they answer questions. There's things that Apple is willing to answer and talk about. I mean, when they ask about, okay, like you predicted this and this headwind, does that include tariffs, for example? Now, do you see the impact of ever-changing tariff situation, like impact you? That was last earnings call, like 3 months ago. That is a valid question that was not in the remarks, and Apple did somewhat answer it. They didn't go into the political field, but they said, no, we priced this into our forecast already. Like, okay. No details, how exactly, but they said, no, we already factored that in to some extent. Okay. Yeah. But that's an interesting question, and that's a valid question to ask, and something Apple will answer.
Way better than the old days when Gene Munster every time would ask about Apple television.
And was it Steve even back then would never answer.
You're right. Well, yeah.
Was Steve it, or Tim? I don't remember. I think it might have been both, actually, at one point or another.
It might have been both. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. So apparently Apple was incredibly successful, or Apple is doomed to failure, depending on which news report you read.
Yeah. I always say Apple Inc. doomed since 1976, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So we have to do a short show today, and that's on me because apparently I have other stuff that has to happen too. So Next story. This one comes from the earnings report call. And this is Apple's statements on what's happening with Siri. And so the word that came out from the earnings call, from what Tim Cook was saying, is the next generation version of Siri really is coming next year. No, no, this time we really mean it.
Oh my God.
And
Actually, Bob Beach said in the chat something about that. Like that the app, like Apple made all the money. He said so much for the absence of the new Siri affecting Apple's profits or sales.
Yes, yeah, smart that's comment. A good point. Yep, yep.
And you know, I want to explore that just a second, because I know there have been articles out there in the past that have pointed out that no matter what phone we're talking about, that the presence or absence of AI on the phone is not a driver at this point. Mm-hmm. It sounds like that people are more interested in all the other features that have to do with the phone in today's world, as opposed to having access to AI. And I also, you know, I personally sort of pile on top of that and say, yes, I'm looking forward to Apple Intelligence whenever it hatches. I'm going with your floof, Jeff. Mm-hmm. But you know, but at the same time, I have access to pretty much any of the other major large language models that I want access to, because mm-hmm. they have apps on the phone. So yep. It's not a deciding factor. It mm-hmm. doesn't, it just, but the fact that it's not Apple Intelligence, again, we're right back to it. It seems to drive the tech analysts and the tech journalists mm-hmm. crazy. Yeah. But for the user, not so much, excuse me.
I mean, no, you're right. I mean, nobody's going to switch the phone because, or at least for now, I mean, maybe long term, yes, but not short term. Because, Android has a better, like, AI assistant or whatever. No, they're just not. The people who care about it, they just use ChatGPT or whatever, the others. Mm-hmm. Whisperflow, any of the others. The only area where it might, and I put might in really in quotes and probably very, very minor difference, is that some people might look at it and say, well, why should I buy a new phone? There's nothing new about it, right? That I don't need more power. There's no new AI features that would require better hardware. Why would I upgrade, right? And keep the phone a year longer than they maybe would have. But again, that's probably a not even point something, point a lot of zeros, 1% of all users.
You know, I had this discussion in a with a person who I'm speaking in their Mac user group, and I couldn't remember when I was speaking. They have me scheduled for next March to talk about Apple Intelligence. And I'm like, do we really want to take that risk again that it'll be there? And he's like, yeah, well, I'm sure there'll be something coming out with it. I am hopeful.
Bless his heart.
Yeah, Gurman is talking about inside Apple, they're testing 26, iOS 26.4, and people are upset with how well that's working on the test. So,
I mean, who knows? I honestly, no. Yeah, no, they're not testing 26.4 yet. I don't believe it. They might be testing a feature that is targeted for 26.4, because that's how it usually works, but they're not testing 26.4 yet.
You know, Patrice, the one area that I think AI matters, or the one device that AI will matter on, is the wearables.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't care about it on the phone like Chuck. I've got the apps that I need. Yes. But to be able to have it integrate with the wearables is mm-hmm.
No, absolutely. No, but yeah. this my point is more, this is early in the development. This early on, shit's broken.
Yeah, please just have it by March.
Yeah, no, it's like, I mean, the March time frame, I'm gonna be honest, it's if they're not shipping it by March or maybe April, it's not coming in 26. It's very simple.
Yeah.
Because then we're getting into WWDC territory, and then it will come in September. And honestly, Tim Cook said we're on track for next year. He did not say next year. It could be literally they're shipping it like 31st of December 2026. Would still be next year. So, yeah,
Patrice, to back you up on that, mm-hmm. my assumption every time Apple says we're releasing something and they give us a window, mm-hmm. always assume it's the last day of the window.
And it might change. I mean, anybody who works in development knows that. Like, I mean, people asked me for a release date for a bug fix release, and I said, yeah, probably we'll have it ready by today. Well, guess what? It's not ready by today. We found a bug yesterday, and we still have to fix it, so it's probably going to be Monday or Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So shit can happen, and stuff can get delayed. I mean, that's why Siri is like delayed already, because it's not working or wasn't working the way they wanted it. So they said, okay, we have to work on it. So honestly, it will be out when it's out. Once we see it, once we can touch it, once we can try it, then we can talk about it. Is it good or not? Until then, don't give a crap.
Same. And you know, honestly, for me, with Siri, there's a couple things, I mean, aside from just making it not broken, that that I would like to see, like the ability to give it compound commands.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there's so much.
And yeah.
I think that was last week. My cool thing was Whisper Flow. I think last week. Mm-hmm. If you try something like that, you realize how bad Siri really is. Because it's so much better at transcribing text as you speak. In multiple mm-hmm. languages, it's so much better. But of course it is. One, it's online, mostly. You can do offline. Two, Siri hasn't changed for a long time.
Yeah.
And that's what they're working on. So I don't think it's even an assumption that the next version of Siri should be better, because, well, there's been a couple of years of changes that happened in the industry that now will be integrated, hopefully.
Yeah, it's in the end, though, the big thing for me with Apple and AI, give me the mundane things.
Yes, but that, make it reliable. That's
make
big,
it reliable.
That's the big problem right now. It's not even reliable.
It's
like half of the time I tell Siri something, and it's kind of a 50-50 shot if she even listens, or if she does the thing I told her to, or if one of the random other HomePods in the house might randomly decide, hey, today is my turn. Doesn't work.
Yep.
I don't want to sidetrack this too much, because I know Jeff has a heart out, but mm-hmm. I want to bifurcate the conversation just a little bit into informational queries and mm-hmm. smart home queries.
Yes.
Because smart home queries, yes, Siri is the S lady. Sorry, folks. Yeah. Can be a little bit questionable. The A lady does seem to be a little bit more reliable, you know. But but when it comes to informational queries, yes, the S lady is lagging a bit. But Patrice, to your point, you know, it's all pretty much done either on device or, you know, or it asks you if you wanted to go to ChatGPT mm-hmm. and therefore go out past the walled garden.
Yeah.
So, you know, I feel like sometimes one or the other gets praised or criticized with a merging of those two things. And I see my personal use as quite different. You know, I break it into two categories mentally.
No, see, I'm mm-hmm. I'm a big proponent of, like, I take Siri as a whole thing, all the features, everything, as you said, the HomeKit, the commands, the transcription, the questions you ask, informational slide. I take the whole thing. Then I'm a big fan of, or used to be a big fan of Siri, and I still am. I'm still very bullish on. I think it's the right approach. I think it could be the best system, but I think you will be hard pressed these days to find someone who looks at it and says, this is great, this is amazing, and I don't need more. Everybody knows that other systems, and I'm not talking about the A lady because it also has a lot of problems in Google. Like, I think it's probably an industry wide problem, but there is other solutions that, in general, across the board, work way better. And that is the point. And as I said, it's natural. Like, it's not, and it's like, and I'm sure Apple will fix it or catch up or integrate a third party or whatever. Like, they will find a solution for that because that's where the industry is going. But today, mm-hmm. across the board, does not mean it doesn't work in certain circumstances, but we all look at it and we all know it could be so much better, and not in wishful thinking, I want like my personal robot, but in there is other solutions on the market right now that do it better.
Yeah, other solutions, if you think of them like Gemini and Copilot, are tied to particular platforms. Yeah. You can't get away from them.
Yes.
And, you know, I think that's my hope as the S Lady grows, that I won't have to go to other platforms mm-hmm. or the other platform services, which I know what they're going to do with my data.
Yes.
And I, it would be fine if I got a little kickback from them, mm-hmm. but they don't seem to be sending me checks.
That's unfortunate.
But yeah, I know. But you know, being able to kind of keep it contained and not have to go outside to where I have to use other services that are going to use my data or misrepresent my data in some way. That's my hope for the Yes Lady.
You know, I think that's an awesome place for us to just move on.
Yeah.
And and learn about our live chat. And Patrice, my favorite undead, do you mind telling people about that live chat?
Yes. Yeah. And if you're wondering why I just said that, then you will have to watch the video. So live chat, live.britishtechnetwork.com. That's where we live stream this whole shebang. And there's a video on the left, the chat on the right, no sign in required. It generates really funny names and we always have a cool chat, like Bob Beach is very frequently there, we're in there. Infallible Shockley, for example, was one person that joined. It generates fun names. If you want to check this, if you want to change this, up top is a purple button to change name. And call yourself Chucky, for example, and then you can talk with that name. Anyway, transcript we also have. So if you missed the show, if you want to see, like, click on the see the links to the articles we talked about, the cool things that are coming up, all of that, bridgetechnetwork.com/chat. Put in today's date, Halloween 2025. I think you know that date is October 31st, of course, and you will see what we talked about.
Awesome. Thank you for doing that, Patrice. And before we do cool things, I want to let everyone know that we're sponsored by Odd Technologies, which is super cool. They're giving us all of the resources we need to be able to do what we do. The shows, place for the files to live so that you can watch or listen whenever you want. All of that. So that's just a fancy way of saying they're shelling out the money so we can do this. Mm. So thank you, Odd Technologies. And if you need to have someone to monitor your construction site, production site, whatever, they can get all that stuff set up for you. The cameras, all that stuff. So hit them up because they're great. Oh my gosh, they put the awe in awesome, they can pay me for that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Or maybe that's our payment back to them because they're sponsoring us. Okay, that's fair. Karma in action, people. Anyhow, Awe Technologies, awetechnologies.co.uk. Thank you, Awe Technologies, for being our sponsor. Now, let's hit some cool things before I have to bail. And it looks like Chuck has the first.
I'm going to throw this in. This is something I have. It's on order because I have some business travel coming up. But I ran into this on another flight earlier this year and was talking to my seatmate about it. This is the Paralogix airplane phone holder mount. It's a different little kind of device that you can attach to the tray table on the airplane and hold your phone at different angles and different heights. And you can do it when the tray table was up, you can do it when the tray table was down. Obviously it's going to change how it's orients things as to where it puts it. But I watched him get it out, attach it, and then kind of sit back and watch a video on his phone for the duration of the flight. And it's like, this is a brilliant idea. I'm anxious to try it from a number of different angles, not the adjustment angles, but just from the idea of being able to maybe even potentially have a second screen in my iPhone while I have my laptop out. So it's, and the link I put in goes to the US Amazon store, and I gave you the pink, pardon me, the pink version for two reasons. First of all, everything that goes in my bag is black, and therefore I can't always find it. It disappears down to the bottom. This will help me find it. More importantly, though, this is like $3 or $4 cheaper than any of the other colors. And so I don't care what color it is as long as it works. So I bought the cheap one. So I'll let you know how it goes. But it looks sturdy enough in someone else's use that it made me say, I'm going to invest in it and try it. So
awesome.
Go for it.
That's actually cool. Cool. All right. Patrice.
Well,
tell us about your cool thing. Oh, and I love your cool thing.
Yes.
I use it a lot.
So since we're talking about AI models and all of that, there is actually a way. You can run your own models on your machine. Mac, Windows, or Linux, doesn't matter. You need a little bit of beefier machine, but the Macs have the big advantage that they have specialized neural engines built in. It can actually use that. There's an app called, as I said, Mac, Windows, Linux, called LM Studio. On the Mac, it's only available for the M series, not any longer for Intel. Windows and Linux, you can have it both for x86 and also for ARM if you want that. And what it allows you to do is run your own open source models mostly on your machine. So if you want to run a DeepSeek, a Qwen, a GPT, like OpenAI's GPT is available as an open source version. If you want to run multiple models, combine them, experiment with them, and not pay anything really for it, other than a little bit of your power, because of course the machine is going to suck a little bit more power if you're using that. You can download LM Studio. It allows you to download a lot of models and try them. You can integrate them in other apps, like in Visual Studio Code or whatever. Like, there's ways to do that. But you can also it has a prompt. You can just go in there and use it and try it and ask questions, use it on a command line, script things with it. Like, it's really a tinkerer tool, I would call it. I don't know, Jeff, how you're using it.
I use it to learn and get more familiar with how models work. Mm-hmm. But if I'm doing something where using a model like this could be helpful, you're like figuring out the right structure for an outline or something.
Yeah.
But it involves proprietary information.
Mm-hmm.
Then instead of using ChatGPT or Perplexity or something like that, I will do it in LM Studio. So everything is totally contained on my computer and I'm not getting proprietary information covered by a non-disclosure agreement out into a model.
Yeah, exactly. And it has an API, so if you want to script something, there's SDKs for JavaScript and whatever. You can run local things and automations and whatever you want to do and use the power of the Macs that you have. And yeah, why not? So it's free. It's the big advantage. Yeah. It's free.
It's super cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay, Marty, tell us about your cool thing.
Well, first, Patrice, I just presented on LM Studio to a national conference, also Olama, because I work in counseling, in the field of counseling. Mm-hmm. We wouldn't put client information in, but still, they're really hypersensitive about stuff. And so the idea of having an onboard, personal, on-device kind of LM was appealing to them. My last time I was on, I talked about the Galaxy XR as my cool thing, getting out of the Mac universe. This thing really has not much to do with computers, but it is a tire inflator, a portable air compressor. You have to imagine this as being about twice being the size of a iPhone Pro Max and about three times the thickness. That's how
Oh, wow.
small this device is. And it from the context where I'm at, this is the changeover from summer to winter. And that's when you wake up one day, you turn your car on, and suddenly you have the tire inflation is too low because the weather has gone cold and it's triggered it. And then you're driving around looking for gas stations that have tire inflatable machines that aren't crowded with people having the same situation,
Or aren't
and
broken.
or that you, or yeah, or broken, because when it gets super cold, they break. You have to chuck quarters into it, or you have to chuck dollars into it, or whatever, to get it to go. So I invested in one of these, and of course, Amazon, I got it the next day, and it works really well. Now, there's a variety of these. I'm just putting and sharing the one that I have. You can get them as low as $29. I picked for one that was a little better rated and a little bit more expensive, but it works really well. And it sits in the back of my trunk, so whenever this happens, I can just juice it up. It is also, it's rechargeable with USB-C, so you can charge it in your car if you need it for whatever purpose. But it's very cool.
That is super cool. And also living in a place where we're starting to get cold, having a portable compressor for your tires in your car, super handy. I love it. Yeah. Hey, we are bumping up on my very hard out time. So my cool thing is going to be saying, Patrice, do you mind taking care of the last few minutes of the show while I just magically disappear?
Sure, but I think we can even wrap it up in the last 2 minutes, 4 minutes.
All right.
Sure.
Well then, how about if I say, "Well, everyone, it's been a great show," and Chuck, tell us where people can find you, and make it
MacVoices.com.
fast.
MacVoices.com, and you can find me on the socials as at Chuck Joyner. Boom.
Awesome. Awesome. And Marty, how about you?
You can find me at Gencius, Jencius, on all the socials, and find out about the work that I do and the other shows that I'm on, like Chuck's, at the podtalk.net.
Awesome. And my favorite Day of the Dead, Patrice, how
Day of
about
the
you?
Dead every week on the Big Show on the Mac Show. Everything I'm doing on my website, thepatrice.com, and Jeff and I, we have a retro rewatch. We rewatched retro TV shows, episode Stargate SG-1 season 3 and episode 11, past and present, will be out in the next probably couple of minutes.
Awesome. All right, then fast for me, Jay Gammon on all the social medias. And for the shows that I'm on that haven't already been mentioned here, need to add in the Context Machine and In Touch with iOS. And tomorrow, November 1st, you can find me in Sugarloaf, Colorado, selling art. Come to the art show. It also supports the volunteer fire department.
Okay,
Okay,
cool.
so with that, thank you, everyone, for being here. You all rock. Everyone that's watching, listening live, shows, recordings later on, all of you are awesome. Thank you for being here. Ewan, thanks for being you. Muller, thanks for making sure we have people for shows. Awe Technologies, thank you for being our sponsor. Don't forget to tune in next Thursday for the big show. Come back again on Friday for the Mac show. Have an awesome weekend and a fun Halloween. And look at that. We're ending with just enough time for me to leave the show and then jump into the meeting that I can't be late for. You're all awesome. Have an awesome weekend. Bye, everyone.
Bye.